I will be sharing on the making of the King of Glory. The making of the King of Glory. Let's quickly turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, for verse 24. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring you no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Lord, hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. Then shall there enter in the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses. They and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. This is an ancient prophecy of Jeremiah. Prophecy that was applied to the Israelites in the days of old. But we know today that these prophecies remain. Prophecies from the Lord are in reality spiritual by nature. Every single prophecy in the Bible, right from the Old Testament prophets, has some meaning, significance in God's eternal kingdom. Bear in mind that the appearing of Jesus on the scene has opened a way into a dimension without beginning and without end. And that is the realm we are called to live in. It is the realm that we are being gathered into. So prophecies like this apply to us, to the church today. The Sabbath day is not a day of the week. The Sabbath day is not a 24-hour day. It is not Sunday. It is not Saturday. It's none of that in God's vocabulary. From the eyes of the Spirit, the Sabbath is the Lord's day. And if you want to keep the Sabbath, you will simply walk according to His ways. Because it is the Lord's day. It is a day that is holy unto God. It's not the day of a man. You know that? It's God's day. It's the Lord's day. Praise God. That's what the Sabbath is. It's not man's day. It's the Lord's day. The book of Isaiah 58 speaks about the Sabbath. Praise God. The Sabbath has got nothing to do with religion. It's not got nothing to do with, you know, keeping a 24-hour day apart. It's got nothing to do with your fasting or your prayers or whatever. It's all about keeping the ways of the Lord. Walking as the Lord. Speaking as the Lord. Doing the will of the Lord. No longer the will of man. Let's quickly turn to Isaiah 58. I'll just browse through that. This is a bit of deviation, but let's quickly browse through that. Understand what the Sabbath day that Jeremiah is speaking about. Hallelujah. Go down to verse 13. Isaiah 58 verse 13. if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, not finding thy own delight, you see it, or go backwards, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, not finding thy own pleasure, not speaking thy own words, then thou shalt delight themselves in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So you can see what the Sabbath is all about. It's not about religious works, it's not about any 24 hours days. It's all about living once more according to the Lord. Praise God, it is the holy unto the Lord. It's the Lord's day. Not speaking your own words as a man, not working anymore as a man, not finding your own pleasures as a man, but rather doing, not doing thy own will, but the will of the Lord. You remember Jesus Christ when he prayed, he says, Father, thy will be done, not my will, but thy will. You want to keep the Sabbath, let go of your life as a man and begin to walk in divinity. Begin to exercise yourself in godliness. That is the Sabbath. Exercise yourself in the Lord, because the Lord, like we're going to discover shortly, is the true identity of a man. So Jeremiah says that if you keep the Sabbath, you don't profane the Sabbath, the holy day of the Lord. Hallelujah. By honoring the Lord. The only way you can honor the Lord is by walking as the Lord. Walking in the name of the Lord. Then you shall pass through the gates of Jerusalem. These are the high places of the earth we see in Isaiah 58. Jerusalem is that city upon the hill. The city is set in the high places, in the elevated places of the spirit realm. Jerusalem, according to the eyes of the spirit, has got nothing to do with a location somewhere in the Middle East. Those are shadows. We're speaking about a Jerusalem that is not made with hands. A Jerusalem that has been from eternity, the joy of the whole earth, where the living God is found. It's only the Lord that enters Jerusalem. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. The city set upon the hill. As Psalm 24 says, who shall ascend the holy hill of the Lord? Who shall stand on God's holy hill? Who? The one that has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This is the one that shall receive the righteousness of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. Of course, he's not telling us to get religious. Pure hands, you know, clean heart. You can't achieve that by religion. Never. Praise God. There's a secret here. You cannot achieve that by religion. It's only by getting the keys, the mystery of what Christ, who Christ is all about, that a man can ascend God's holy hill. Praise God. If we live ordinarily as mortal men, with attachments to this outer world, how can you possibly partake of that which is eternal and spiritual? So that is why it says the soul that has not lifted up his soul to vanity. Don't you know that the men of this age are subject to vanity? The souls of men of this age cleaves to the dust. They are like serpents that crawl on the dust. And that serpent man, no, we know, feeds on dust. It feeds on vanity. Praise God. Say, him that has not lifted his soul to vanity, he that does not walk carnally, he that does not walk in the illusion of the flesh, this is the one that can ascend. The one that can ascend is the one that receives counsel from above. The one that can ascend God's holy hill is the one that receives instructions from above. We're going to study what these instructions are shortly. Hallelujah. Further down in Psalm 24, it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall what? Come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your gates, O ye. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of the glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Praise God. Now, all these are coded words, coded languages. And all these things, the Lord is subtly, he's not subtly actually, by the Spirit. The psalmist who wrote this thing was speaking about the return of the sons of God into glory. He was speaking here about the return of the sons of the living God back into their place in glory. These are the kings and princes riding upon horses, entering back into the eternal city of the living God. Praise God. It's really wonderful. Open ye gates, open doors, you everlasting doors. Let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? It is the Lord of hosts. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians that flesh and blood can in no wise enter into God's kingdom. Flesh and blood represents mortal man. He also says that inasmuch as we have borne the image of the earthly man, the mortal man, which is flesh and blood, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, which is the Lord from what? From heaven. And it's only in man's putting on or awakening in the Lord of glory that he can enter back into God's kingdom. Praise God. That this is Paul calls it a mystery. You cannot receive this thing except it is given to you from above. Don't bother trying to ask your pastor about what you are hearing today, because your pastor will not understand. Don't bother. If you can understand it, receive it and let it yield forth fruit in you. Praise God. We are born the image of the earthly man, but being born again of water and spirit, we bear the image of the celestial man, which is the Lord from heaven. This is the King of glory. It's only in this new identity, only in this new name, in this new consciousness, can a man tunnel his way through those everlasting gates into God's kingdom. The joy of the whole earth, the city of the living God. Praise God. And of course, we know in that place, in that dimension, there's nothing like hell, nothing like death, nothing like pain, nothing like sorrow. Hallelujah. But those who access this place enter into the place of eternal delight, ruling and reigning in victory forever and forever. Hallelujah. So the King of Glory is you in your true awoken state. Oh, hallelujah. If we have slept in the dust, if we have slept in mortality, we have slept in a flesh and blood consciousness, the time has come to awake. And when you awake, you discover that you are the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Awake. Awake, and you will discover an open door into God's everlasting kingdom. You'll find escape from the spiritual wickedness that litters this realm called the world. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to study the image of the King of Glory. And just be attentive. These are messages normally that can span many, many recordings, but I'll try to put this thing into one message. Praise God. If you turn quickly to the book of Revelations, chapter 1, we're going to see here the true Odisham, or we can call it a very detailed allegorical view of the King of Glory. Of course, over the years we've thought of the King of Glory as a man sitting on a chair somewhere in the sky. Everybody looks outwardly to Jesus in the sky as the King of Glory. People are still looking outwardly, expecting to see Jesus come in the sky. But I tell you, forget it. You know, even when Jesus Christ was, you know, ascended into heaven before the disciples, you know that they were out there looking in the sky, looking at him, and they, you know, some angels appeared to tap him and told them, what are they looking for? Don't look there anymore. You won't get him there anymore. Praise God. This same Jesus that people adore and worship today, if he were here today on the earth, they will not recognize him. These same people that think they are worshiping a Jesus in the sky, if he were to be here today, they will not recognize him. He will still go through the persecution that he went through 2,000 years ago. And in reality, Jesus is already here. He's already present. He's already about the place preaching. But as usual, very few people recognize him when he appears. It's when everything is over that you say, oh, there was something about that man. There was something about him. There was something about his message. Then you will remember and you will know that it was the Lord that was speaking to you. It's always a secret. That's why Jesus Christ, when he did his works, he said, shh, don't tell any man. See, the move of God is always hidden to the external world. You will never hear the move of God or the move of the Spirit on the CNN. You will never hear the move of the Spirit on God's channel. It's always done in secret. Oh, hallelujah. When in the days of old Balaam and Balak sought to curse the Israelites, when God took a hold of the mouth of the prophet Balaam, he prophesied and he said that these people are a people that shall not be reckoned with among the nations. Meaning that relatively they are not known among the nations. They are not recognized by people of this world. They are not of this world. John the Apostle says that if they had known Jesus, they would know you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So let us stop looking out for an external Jesus or signs. You will never find it. Because God's kingdom is there. The gates into God's kingdom are already open. People are already entering in to God's kingdom. People are already being saved all over the world. People are already being healed. People are already being awoken to their true identities that they share with the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. People are awakening to the mystery of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, he's not saying Christ in the sky is your hope of glory. He's saying Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's not Christ in that brother out there. It's not Christ in the messenger. Because the messenger also has to work out his own salvation. The messenger also has to keep himself. It is the Christ in you that is the hope of your glory. And who is Christ? Is the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory in you is the hope of your salvation. That is your eternal hope. The Lord of glory is within you. It's your true self. Sleeping in the dust. Hallelujah. But the Lord says the hour has come for the awakening. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, we see the appearance of Jesus on the island of Patmos. Now, John the Apostle was on this island, you know, in solitary confinement when he had this series of visions. And this series of visions are widely misinterpreted today by the men of this age. People kind of link these things to external signs that things will happen, the end of the world, the apocalypse. You have big books that are bestsellers, films that are bestsellers, and all these things, because people convert these scriptures to mean something to that will happen externally, but they don't realize that these things are already happening. They've happened in people and they're happening again and again and again. See, the book of Revelation is a book dedicated to you who have ears to hear. It's a book that starts off with the Alpha and the Omega and ends with the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Now that is Jesus. The beginning and the end is Jesus, and this was a pure spiritual, allegorical view, metaphysical view of Jesus Christ in the spirit. I'm saying this because you don't expect to see somebody in the sky looking the way the Alpha and the Omega looked in the book of Revelation chapter 1, with the face shining as the sun, with swords coming out of the mouth, with seven stars in the right hand, with feet, with shoes, you know, and feet like, you know, like bronze placed in a furnace, with light garments going down to the feet, with long white hair, with eyes which burned like flames, with a golden belt around the waist. You don't expect to see a figure like this in the heavens, in the sky, because it does not exist. All these are just attributes to explain the mystery of Christ. It is recorded in the book of Revelation chapter 1 that the voice of the Alpha and the Omega was as the voice of what? Many, many waters. Praise God. You see this in Revelation chapter 1 verse 15. And his feet was like unto fine brass, as if they burnt in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of what? Of many waters. What do you think those waters mean? Spiritually speaking, this is a symbol of nations, tongues, peoples, innumerable number of people that are gathered into Christ, the Alpha and Omega. Now, this is the true Jesus. And we are knowing now that the true Jesus is not just one man born in a manger. Praise God. Now all those pictures we see all over the shelves, you know, all over the world, a handsome man with a hat popping out of the chest and all that kind of stuff, it has nothing to do with what Christ symbolized, what Jesus symbolized. It is the revelation of Jesus, the Lord of glory, that counts. If we see Jesus and still look unto Jesus externally, as a kind of external help, that means we are still walking in darkness. Because it is written that even if we've known Jesus after the flesh, we know him no longer after the flesh. Because Jesus is not flesh and blood. He appeared in that form for a moment to do the will of the Father, to reveal the mystery of godliness. Praise God. If we still look at Jesus after the flesh, we still have a veil over our face, and we are not recognizing what Jesus stands for. Jesus represents your true life. Jesus Christ represents your true image. Jesus Christ represents the Son of God in you. God expects that every man recognize Jesus, every man sees Jesus, and through him, by conforming back to that image, to that specimen, that is, you return back into your glory in God. Hallelujah. For very few people get this, understand these things in the days of their flesh. Only three disciples were able to see Jesus the way he is. Only three disciples were able to see themselves the way they are. Only three. Where were the other multitudes? They were down there playing religion. They were down there asleep, continuing as men upon the earth. How many people get to recognize the significance of the gospel they're hearing today? That the Lord of glory is in you. Ascend up spiritually and you will see Christ, the true image of God. Praise God. So you can see the book of Revelations What we are seeing there is a revelation of the true Christ. Those things reveal the attributes of the King of Glory. Hallelujah. The Lord mighty in battle. Hallelujah. The one who sits upon the throne of God, who rules over all. In Revelation chapter 4, John saw him sitting upon the throne. Hallelujah. He has the sword that comes out of the mouth. He's a man of war. John sees him in another chapter, riding on a white horse, coming to wake war with the princes of this age. That is the Lord of Glory. And God wants us to be conformed back to this image. That's why we're hearing messages today like this. If you notice, when Jesus Christ transfigured upon the mountain, it was this same image that came into the view of the disciples. And the voice says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." What are you hearing? What are you hearing? Have you heard of the last trumpet? Have you heard of the voice of the Son of Man? Hear him. What are you hearing? Jesus Christ was quick to speak on several occasions, warning his disciples and the people around, "Mind how you hear." Go to Mark chapter 4, verse 23. "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And he said unto them, "Take heed that you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be what? Given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." See, Jesus Christ saying, "Mind how you hear." God testifies from heaven, "Hear him." Mind how you, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? It's the voice of the Spirit. That silent voice which feels all in all like the wind. It's everywhere. Speaking day and night. Testifying of the mystery of the Son of God in you and God's kingdom, the New Jerusalem. Praise God. Your ability to hear what the Spirit is saying lifts you up out of the muddy clay. See, it restores your priestly garments. It restores the crown of life to you. It restores, you know, the throne, the power, the authority, and the glory, and everything that you ever lost is restored to you. If you are able to just gradually let go of the many, many contradicting voices, all the chaos that we have in this outer realm, this world, there's no point trying to solve anything. No point trying to do anything. Just pick your bags and, if I leave everything, and begin to climb up, ascend up. Let the lamp lead you up out of the lower places of the earth. Let the lamp minister to you. The inner voice, the inner anointing, let it fish you out of the deep. Let it loosen you from all the shackles that have tied you to the tomb and to the graveyard of humanity. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when you allow the voice of the Spirit, when you listen and you allow the voice of the Spirit to lead you, you will discover that you are the King of Glory. It simply awakens you to be that divinity, that King of Glory that you truly are. Then you can rule and reign. Mind how you hear. Stop listening to voices of religion and to voices of men. But begin to receive counsel from above. Oh, hallelujah. That's why when John saw the Alpha and the Omega, that composite body which we said is the body of Christ, the glorious body of Christ, he said the voice was like the voice of a trumpet. Hallelujah. And he says to John, write down, record everything that you are about to hear and everything you are about to see, and send it off to the churches, to the seven churches that are dispersed in the world. Now this is the church of God. Send this message to them. Let them hear. Let them listen. Let them understand the mystery that I am speaking to you about today. Oh, hallelujah. And that trumpet voice, that those messages are seen to in the messages to the churches, which apply to every man out there today. See it? All you need to do is to begin to hear. Stand where you are. Be still and begin to receive counsel from the Lord. The psalmist says, I receive counsel from the Lord in the night seasons. Oh, hallelujah. Thou shalt lead me to your right hand. Thou shalt not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Who is the Holy One of God? It's the Christ. You see this in the message to the church in Philadelphia. Says, he that is holy, he that is true. Who is the Holy One of God? It's the King of glory. It is Christ in you. Thou shalt not allow me to see corruption. You will not allow me to slip down into the miry clay, into hell and destruction. But you will show me the path of life, of joy, of peace. Hallelujah. Listen. 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 Be still listening. Hallelujah. Don't let the distractions of this age, you know, dampen your vision. Stay still where you are. All you need for your joy and your salvation, all you need for your peace, hallelujah, all you need for your glory is to listen and allow the voice lead you back into your glory. Oh, praise God. Be like, you know, the rich man Zacchaeus. Important man, the big gates of his time or whatever. Left, had to, you know, get away from all the shoving and the pushing and all the vain, you know, shoving for vain glory and the fight and all the things that are on the earth. He had to leave all that and climb a tree where he could be still to just have a view of the Alpha and the Omega. Praise God. Be like Mary, who sat quietly at the feet of Jesus. Listen. And Jesus Christ said, she has done the greater part. Praise God. Listen to the voices of the voice of the Spirit, which is the seven trumpets, is the voice of the Alpha and Omega. It is the gospel from heaven today. It is the inspiration of the Spirit. It is the breath of God, quickening the inner consciousness of man, causing man to awake to the reality of that endless life and the life without flaw within himself. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. We just look at some of the promises for those who can hear the voice of the Spirit. And what does the voice of the Spirit do? It simply testifies of Christ in you. It brings remembrance. Hallelujah. You know, when those you are asleep in the dust, You forgot everything. You forgot who you are. You forgot your origin in the eternal spirit. You forgot everything that pertains to life. And you are deep asleep. But you begin to say, wake up, wake up, wake up. King of glory, wake up. You who sleep in the dust, wake up. Wake up. And that's what the voice of the trumpet does. That's why it sounds loud. A splitting sound. To wake you up out of your deep sleep. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Don't be like those men who don't hear. Because many people will never hear this voice. And many people get to realize this voice when everything has, you know, gone so bad. Hallelujah. It says that to him that hears and overcomes, will I grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That is Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. The tree of life, which is in the midst of what? The paradise of God. Those are those who hear the first message. All this comes out of the inspiration, the voice of the Spirit of God, calling on the children of God to return back to their first love. Hallelujah. Praise God. The second message, it says, to him that overcomes, will I give what? The crown of life. Praise God. To him that overcomes, will I give what? The crown of life. To the third message, church, which is the church in Pergamos, says, to him that overcomes, will I give the hidden manna and the white stone. To the church in Thyatira, that is the fourth message, it says, to him that overcomes, will I give the rod, you know, the iron rod with which is our rule the nations. Meaning he will give authority over the nations, and he shall break the potters of vessels into shivers. Praise God. And he shall also get what is called the morning star. The message to the church in Sardis says that those that obey hear the voice of the Spirit telling them to return to the Almighty. We once more walked in garments of white. White garments. Oh, hallelujah. And they shall have their names written in the book of life. And these are the ones that appear with in the company of the angels of God. Then you have the message to the sixth church, with the church in Philadelphia, which speaks about the overcomer entering into the New Jerusalem. See, those that overcome, I will grant them access into the New Jerusalem. Like we've already said, it's only the King of Glory that enters into the New Jerusalem. See, open new everlasting doors. See, it says in the church in Philadelphia that I have the key of David, and I open no man shut, and I shut no man opens. See, the everlasting doors are opened for those who can hearken to the voice of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hearkening to the voice of the Spirit gives you the key to enter into God's kingdom. Then you have the seventh message, which says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me on my throne, on my Father's throne. That's on the throne of God. So if you study these messages properly, you will see that it's all about restoring the attributes of the King of Glory in man. seat. It restores your place upon the throne of God. It restores the rod of authority. It restores the morning star attribute. It has, you know, restores the eyesight, the spiritual eyesight. It restores the crown of life. It restores, or rather gives you access into the new Jerusalem, into God's kingdom. All this is only for the King of Glory. Because only the King of Glory enters in and sits upon the throne of God. Praise God. This is all you ever need. You see, in man's fall, in man's descent into becoming immortal, he lost out on that all power of the King of Glory. Isn't it written in the Bible that when God created man, God did what? Say, let him have dominion. Let him have my what? Dominion. Let him rule over all as I, God. Let him be the express image of my glory. Let man be all that I am. That was the voice of God in Genesis chapter 1. And God did not change yesterday. He never changed. That thing, the way he is the way he has always been. So why do we go through, why do you go through the things that you go through as a man? Suffer, pain, anguish of soul, bitterness, torments, struggling for survival. Why? Return to the Almighty. Allow truth awaken you to your true nature in the heavens forever. Let go of the man of the dust. Loosen yourself and awaken back to that same image of the King of Glory. In Genesis chapter, in Revelation chapter 1. See, that is the one who has access back into God's kingdom. That is the one who enters into the realm where there is no more death. He says, to him that will come, will I grant all these things. And behold, I make all things new. Enter in back, and you will discover the beauty that you are. Praise God. The past is the past. There's no point trying to look back in despair at your failures and things that happened. It does not matter. Those failures don't exist in the mind of God. They only seem to exist in our own imagination. Because the way we are is the way we were and the way we will always be. Awake, O King of Glory. Awake once more to your duty and live a victorious life. The life designed for the King of Glory. God bless you.